Hey, man. Thank you. I don't know what to say.
Got to say something.
Well, today is... What day is it today?
It's Thursday, 31st of August.
Mixed up.
Yeah, I know. So,
you know, September is the weird month.
Because?
Because nobody has a schedule. So we therefore don't have a schedule.
Yeah.
And things are just not as good when you don't have a schedule.
True.
I don't care what anyone says.
Although, it's good to be back on my schedule.
Yes, even though you don't really have one yet.
Right. Now I just get up and get going.
Okay, so here's the first thing. You want to be on your own schedule, number one. And I don't care what anyone says. Even if you're not a schedule person, you're kind of a schedule person.
You think?
Yeah.
It's because better.
If you like actually examine your days, you pretty much do the same things at the same times. So, because that's
point.
It's a common misconception.
Misnomer.
Yeah, misnomer, perhaps. Yeah. That, well, for certain types of people it is, that like, oh, I can't follow a schedule. Like, I don't want to do the same thing every day. Like, that's kind of the excuse. But you actually kind of do the same thing every day. I find that mostly with people that are really resistant to meal plans because they think, oh, I have to eat the same thing every day and whatever. And you can do it that way. But if you examine like how you normally eat anyways, you kind of eat the same things.
Yeah, there's a rotation probably.
Right, there's like a rotation. So you kind of eat the same things normally anyways, which is what you would do on a meal plan regardless.
Yeah, true.
So
100%.
It's funny that you're more in a schedule than you think you are with eating, with your day, with your work day, with your kids, with whatever it is. So even if you're like, oh, I don't like schedules, it's like, yeah, but you're kind of on a schedule. So it's funny.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree.
September is a weird month because there's no schedule.
Yeah.
So it's a limbo month.
Yeah.
I don't like no schedule.
It's taken me 20 years to get used to September.
It's just a weird month.
Because I go from extremely, extremely busy to like basically the brakes are on.
Yeah.
And I've learned to enjoy the time, the free time, the little bit of free time.
Yeah. It's nice to have a little break. A little bit of chaos in the system is actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. September for me is like that. Mm-hmm. It's like just chaotic.
Yeah.
All the schedule, even from before I was working here, even just with school and stuff, it's like you're starting school again. You're getting out of summer into your like winter yearly schedule for your activities. Because summer is kind of like your time where you're doing other things.
Yeah.
Training, whatever. So all the time switch and everything's different. So it is limbo.
This is my summer.
Yeah.
September is my summer.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I'm so glad hockey's back.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's great.
But I'm so sad, too.
Glad and sad.
Yeah.
No, glad and sad.
So weird. Like, the kid comes home after the playoffs last year, and I'm excited to have him home. But then when he comes home, it's like... Another mouth to feed, another, you know, pick that shit up.
it's like
the kid thing. But we hang out so much in the summertime. And then when he goes away, I'm excited for him. And I love watching the game and all that stuff. But then it's like, it's only been like 4 or 5 days. My wife every day, she goes, oh, man, it's weird. Like,
I know.
Not having him around. I know. It's weird. Bothers me.
Yeah. He didn't get one haircut the whole summer.
No. He did before he left. Did he? Didn't see it.
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah. Not a big one, but he got
just
one.
A little clean it up. Just we'll clean it up. So speaking of which, we had and have training camps going on all this week.
Yeah.
So we have all the OHL camps, Junior A camps, Junior B camps. I think Junior C camps are done. U18s, except for Windsor for some reason, are done. So you were there for the start of camp.
Yeah.
It's still going on now, but now it's not.
Yeah.
Or now you're not there. So, I don't know. Want to talk about that or something else first?
No, I want to talk about it. So first, I started my season off properly. So during the summertime, a few of the parents, we got together with one of the parents in Whitby or Brooklyn, and we had a good night. And in our drunken stupor, we didn't talk hockey the whole time, like maybe 5 minutes. We mostly spoke about music and bands and all that stuff. And Bowman is his dad and mom are, they love music. They go to concerts. They love it. And then Bushy's dad is a musician. So it was like, and I love music. And then so does Potsy. So we were we're talking music the whole time. And then Potsy pulls out a Leonard Skinner ZZ Top concert in Toronto, August 20, whatever Sunday was. So, of course, I don't go to concerts. I could care less. But I'm like, yeah, we'll go. Because it was perfect because the next day camp started. So we'll drop our kid off, go to a concert, and Anyways, loved it.
The concert?
Dude, it was so good.
Yeah.
ZZ Top and Lynyrd Skynyrd. Mm-hmm. And old school music. That's what we're all saying. Like, music's not made like that. That when rock and roll came to fruition, right? Anyways,
yep.
Unbelievable in Toronto, great. And then camp started. So yeah, I want to talk about camp a lot. So it started my season off, right?
Yeah.
Even though I'm not playing.
Wait, who'd you like better, ZZ Top or?
Honestly, I thought I would like, because I like, I've always you, I like listening to the old school ZZ Top a lot. Yeah. I thought that they were going to be better, but actually at the end of the day, we think we all agreed that Lynyrd Skynyrd was better.
In what way better? Like the quality of the performance was better?
Well, I got to say, both bands, you could have swore that they're like, they didn't miss one note, one beat. Like it sounded to a T like it would on the albums. I mean, different singer for Lynyrd Skynyrd, but his brother. But anyways, to a T. Phenomenal. They were so good, so tight. But I think I just think we all liked Skynyrd a little bit better.
Just like and better show?
It wasn't like they were that entertaining. It was just the music is so good. Both of them. But we just came away with, for some reason, Skynyrd was a little bit better.
They played Sweet Home Alabama.
They played them all.
Yeah.
Played every
song. What was your
song?
Favorite song?
I love That Smell.
Yeah.
But I also love Simple Man and Free Bird and Tuesday's Gone and Three Steps and like Long they're just so good, but Freebird is my favorite and Simple Manners and they played it so unbelievable
big music guy too.
So yeah, and then ZZ played all their songs. It was just phenomenal, man.
Yeah,
they closed with LaGrange.
Nice.
Like it's unbelievable.
Good venue too.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
That's good.
Hey guys, my name is David. For the last roughly year or so, I've been a member of the Power Tech podcast, and I've trusted Eric and Andy to help me as a hockey dad raising my kids and trying to figure out the answers. I don't have all the answers, and it's a great source of information, and it's an area where I feel comfortable leaning on to help me make better decisions. With that said, one thing I do know about is supplements. I find it's hard to navigate the whole supplement world and make sure that you're using products that work, that are effective, and again, are science research based. Blue Star Products, incredible brand. Their products are based on research, science, the products work, trademark patent ingredients, and you can find all of the research just by scanning QR codes that are right on the back of the product. Thank you to Eric and Andy for their podcast. I think it's amazing, and definitely give Blue Star Products a try.
So I loved it. So then we went, next day camp started. And that's, I want to talk a little bit about that because a lot of our kids, I got a different perspective on it now, right? I mean, my kids.
This is what's cool. Okay, so for new people, if you're just starting to listen to the podcast, you can literally go back to the start when we started doing it. Because I think the first year we did it was Charlie's draft year. I think that was the first year we started doing the podcast. Now he's in year 3 of the OHL. And we do a podcast like this every year around training camps because it's good to just touch on like some of the takeaways and stuff like that. But, and like what you noticed and all that. But you can see, you'll be able to hear the progression of your thinking as a parent and kind of the progression of from your kid's perspective going through it as now a third year player as opposed to it's my first camp. Right. So it's nice. It'll be cool. If you want to go back, I can post, I can put what episodes we did before that were about training camp stuff too. Cause it's a similar conversation, but now the perspective has changed cause it's been 3 years now. Right. Which is interesting. So that's a good thing to point out before you start talking. Cause it'll be cool to contrast kind of the position you'll be in if you listen to one from 3 years ago versus this year as a third year, how things are different. Right.
Yeah. Well, to start off actually kind of funny. We were at the camp the other day, and there was a parent that had a tripod with their iPhone videoing his son playing
OHL camp.
And to boot, I didn't notice what caught my attention was I was standing with my dudes, and we were watching, and this guy yells. His son must have been. I was trying to figure out what his kid was, and then I figured it out after. He yells, "Move your feet!" So let's put this in perspective. Like for me, like when parents do the video on the glass, I sit there and I go, like, what are you doing? Like, number one, are you going over video with them? What are you saving it for? If anybody that has any relevance in hockey sees that, they already start going, okay, this guy's nuts. So anyways, you can do this at an OHL camp. That means you have zero awareness.
Zero.
Can you imagine? I couldn't imagine if, like, if I was the GM, I'd be like, yeah.
What are you bidding it for? Like, what?
Well, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Like, so I'm sitting there trying to maybe make up. My perspective was, okay, crazy. And no longer with the team. He lasted 2 days. And I'm not making fun of the kid. It's not his kid's fault, but that's what happened. So, like, put that in perspective. So, was there for the 2 days and then now gone. Dad filming it. It's like, so if you, if the kid was like a outstanding player, he'd still be there. So what are you filming? Okay. So I'm trying to go, oh, maybe he was trying to take some film to send to a college or something like that. So maybe fair enough. I'm just trying to find something.
No, yeah. Fair enough.
Trying to find something that would make it okay to do that. I don't think you need to do that because like I said, if you only last 2 days at camp and it's your second camp, then you're probably not the highest end player. Like, you know what I mean? Like the video is probably not
going to
help.
Not to pass judgment, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
Couple that with the screaming and it's like, well
that's what
I'm
saying.
Now we have a better indicator of what we're doing video for.
So is he bringing this for him to watch with his kid? Is he giving it to his skills coach? Like what are you doing with it, man?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
That's
so
crazy.
Anyways,
I can't believe that.
So that, I'm like, wow, unbelievable. So, which made me just, my ears perked up after that. Just hearing conversations around, right? And it's so funny to hear, you know, and every parent's heard this is like when, so like that guy yells, move your feet. So like in an OHL rink, and there's not a lot of people there, so the kid probably heard it. Not that he knew it was his dad, but, oh, move my feet. I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
Right. I thought, thanks, right, that's a rebuttal. Dad. It's like, Dad, thank you for reminding me from 100 feet away to move my feet, because that's probably what's stopping me from playing, you know, move my feet. Or you get someone that the parents that yell shoot. Like I don't mind if fans do it because that's what fans are about. But when mom and dad say shoot, it's like, oh.
But you know what it is for me? It's if you go. Yell it, if you're yelling stuff like as a fan, like so okay, for example, if I remember when I was a kid, my mom never said anything, but she might give the odd like get him, Eric, or my dad, if I'm like on a breakaway out of excitement, might just like have an outburst of some sort. It's when you're doing it as like a correction mechanism.
Yep. Or you think that you're listening to what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like.
Like I love when they say go, go.
Yeah, go.
It's like, oh, okay.
I don't understand it. Like, or
you shot it right at the goalie. So the rebuttal on that is like the goalie's allowed to try too.
Yeah. I know.
It's not the biggest net in the world.
I can't because there's so many parents. It's such a common thing from parents, and I just don't know why you're doing that. Like I don't, because you look like an ass. Number one, like I said, there's the odd like excitement outburst that is understandable, but if you're like that consistently yelling things with like the intention of it being corrective.
Or your frustrated.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. I don't know. And on top of that, just remembering from the player side, it makes it really difficult to play when you know someone like that is watching you, because it's not just the yell. It's that, you know, there's a conversation to follow.
Yeah. Well, so, that's what I was going to say. If you can do that in the rink, then you know, their car ride home ain't going to be
the
fun.
Car ride home, man.
And like you're probably talking about hockey a lot.
The car ride home, dude. It's like, We've talked about this before, but it's like there's nothing worse the younger you are, especially, than like getting in the car after and just getting carved for, like, I'm a kid. Like, I'm just playing, man. Like, I just want to play, you know? And I was saying this, I had a kid yesterday, a young kid, kind of related, that came to try the treadmill for the first time, and he's 7 years old. And so I told the dad, like, he's too young to be on this. But I always give the caveat of if the kid can handle it fine, then whatever. So the kid ended up handling it fine. And the dad asked me afterwards, so like, you think this is good? Like he should do it? And I said, well, no, like you shouldn't do it because I'm not going to sit here and say it's worth you paying to come here to do this because he's not going to get the corrections part because he doesn't care. So like having said that, if he likes it, he wants to do it and you want to pay for it, then that's your decision, you know? But from a correction standpoint, like it would be a better investment for the older kid because he can pay attention. My point of that is for the kid, the 7-year-old, like he just wants to skate. Like he just wants to hop on and skate, right? As you get older, there's a way to start talking about, you know, the lessons to learn without it being like, as the kid, my God, my dad's going to grill me on the way home. You know, like that's just not fun to have that feeling when you're playing a sport. You know, there's a way to have that conversation that can be constructive without it being like, my dad is doing everything he can to make sure I'm the best player I can be and all. Like that's, it just gets annoying. It gets irritating. It gets hard to play. It gets hard to play when you know that person is watching you because you know that it's going to come with the yelling and screaming maybe, but it's also going to come with the dissecting of every single thing. And it's like, man, I have 22-year-olds in here that don't think that critically about everything they do. You, as the dad, you don't think about anything that critically. Like you don't think about the things that critically, you know? So it's like having that expectation on your kid that like every little movement, every little thing is like, let's analyze it. Let's scrutinize it. Let's just pick it apart all the time. It's like, you don't even do that as yourself, dad. You don't do that. And now you're like grinding this expectation on me. And it just comes out in those forms, the video, the barking, the car ride home, those kinds of things. And it's just really important that you can be aware of how you're behaving as a parent. Because a lot of times you just get, like anyone else, you're just mindless about your behavior. You're not thinking about the repercussions because you're just caught up in whatever you're thinking. When you just let your mind race and you don't have any self-awareness. But it's important. Like I remember that as a kid, man. Like you get somebody who's judging every single little thing that you're doing. That's all you think about when you're a little kid. You know, you can't even go play now. And little can still mean 16 at your first OHL camp. No, like you're still just a kid, man.
So dude, it's so funny. That's what I was gonna say. It's like I couldn't imagine. This is why I think this podcast is helpful for a lot of people, or maybe it's not, because I couldn't imagine having my kid go to one of these camps or playing in this league without, like, totally naive, or even a little bit naive. Like, so for my. I played in it and I coached in it and I trained players and teams. I trained in some teams and I've been involved in the Ontario Hockey League and pro and stuff for a long time. So I see exactly how it goes. When you have your own kid, it's a little bit, your perspective changes a bit because you worry about your kid or you care about your kid. And, you know, there's no way I, as clear-minded as I was going into it when he was drafted and all that stuff in his first couple of years, as clear-minded as I was, it was still like not confusing, but it's like eye-opening sometimes. And that was like the first thing I was going to say is like for someone that parents and families that have never dipped their toe in this for real, it's got to be a shocker. Like, because I was just looking at a couple of things. Like, if you're a 16-year-old or 17-year-old kid, OHL, college, junior B, whatever, what you'll notice right away is, you know, so first of all, you're not in your home center most likely, so you drove however many hours to this new place that you're excited to go about. So I'm going to just talk about the OHL now, or college, because it's like this, the highest levels before pro, and it's the next step to becoming a pro. So you walk into this place, wherever it is, it could be 8 hours away or three or whatever, and you're walking into, everything is unknown. You think you might know, but everything's unknown. The arena's unknown. The coaches, the players, you don't know anything about this league. It's your first time. So first thing you see as a young guy is, especially if you're a 16-year-old, you're seeing guys 19, 20 years old. That's a gap. And 19, 20 years old physically, even if you are a 6'2", 6'3" kid, you're probably built, you're probably not the thickest guy. Right, so you're seeing someone that's 3-4 years old or mature. That right there is such a huge gap, and it could be your mental block for the week, for the camp. It could be the thing like that's, you're in awe of someone. So on Charlie's team this year, the 6'5" defenseman, he was there last year. Chandler, and then they've got an import. So think about that. You're competing with a kid from Sweden, right? Drafted to the Vancouver Canucks. 6'6", 225, huge. Huge. So you can imagine being a 16-year-old kid. That's intimidating. So you see a whole bunch of guys like that that are 3-4 years ahead of you physically and played hockey that much longer. That's intimidating. So both from a parent and a kid's standpoint. So that's your first eye-opener. It's like, okay, these guys are big and strong, right? And then the next reality is you think, like, no matter what round you were drafted or invited or free agent, whatever, as soon as you do your fitness testing, and there's a lot of good big players. So, and I remember my first one, it was like, okay, this is, I'm a young guy here. Hope I can just fit in, you know? So I did my best, right? So then the reality of how many good players they are just at this camp. So you think, even if you're, I remember Charlie going, I remember when I was, me and Charlie were picked one pick apart. So Charlie was a second rounder, and you know, you sit there as a second round, you know, you have to earn your spot, but you sit there, you know, it's got a, not easy, but it's, yeah, it's yours to lose basically if you do well. And you go out there and you go, that was a seventh rounder there, that was a ninth rounder, that was a fifth. And you just sit there and go, there's a lot of players here and everyone's good. And now it works its way through, but then you realize how fast, how many players are out there and how many good players are out there. And it's like, wow. So I know, like, parents, you're just looking, so as you're watching, you're sitting there going, okay, I don't know if he's doing that well, or is he? Is he sticking out? So it's like, you're like, for parents, you're just sitting there concerned about every little thing, right? And the players, it's like, it's now it's the hardest level you've ever played against. And some guys have the transition. They can just get in there and just go do their thing. That's, I think it's more of a confident thing. But then the next reality that you really realize very quickly is there's only a couple spots here. The truth is there's only a couple spots. And in those spots, when you really start getting into it, it's like, where do I fit in on these spots if I do? And it's like, doesn't sound that attractive, you know, just to get to the team. So anyways, you walk into a new city, you walk into a new rink, you're no new coaches, you don't know people, and it's actually an eye-opener. Like, where you, because thinking about it is one thing, being there is another. And you can't just get up and quit.
Yeah. Well, from the parent side, after like everything you've just laid out, let's say like for what your role is or what your approach should be, it's like you want to make sure you're not putting undue pressure on them, because everything you just said is now like a stressor. You know, it's all the unknown things. The kid is already like, it's just a stressor. And for a lot of kids, like we could talk a little about this, is like, what is your approach going into your first training camp? Because for a lot of kids, it's like, it's almost like you can't even have one because you just don't know what to expect. So you can't even have an approach. Like, well, how do you plan on what to do, right? Because you don't know. So as parents, it's like, and as players, like, you can try to have a plan, and you should try to have a plan of some sort, but that'll only take you so far to a certain extent, because you don't know until you walk in the door. And that's why I think for a lot of people default, which I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I don't know the answer, but a lot of people default to just have fun, like, enjoy the experience, like, get as much out of it as you can, play the best you can, give yourself a chance if you can, but just enjoy the experience. And that's about as good as the advice can get for some people, because outside of that, it's like, I don't really know what to tell you, because I don't know what's going to be there. I've never been there, you know. Even if for you, you had been there, and for your kid, it's like, you hadn't been there since whatever, 1928. When did you go to camp?
Just before the car.
just before the Model T, right? So for you, it's like, you haven't been in that position in so long, and things are so different from when you were there, that it's brand new for you too.
Yeah, from a personal standpoint, right. But I was there with a couple of the OHL teams, and I did part, but I didn't have any emotions to it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Advice to that would be, like, it never really changes, to be honest with you. But going into your first camp, as you don't know people and you're trying to make an impression. So we talked about this with my kid, is, you know, you go in there and you shut your mouth and don't say too much. Like, not people talk to you, talk, but I just don't, never mind being a clown. Just more or less keep yourself. And then everything you do is about earning and learning. But you have to play the game. And that's, so those are all controllables, right? So you can shut your mouth and speak when you're spoken to, but you can still practice hard. You can still play hard. That's your goal, is to play your game the best of your ability. But this is the eye opener. It's like, do I go against this 6 foot, like guy I talked about? He's 6 foot six, drafted Vancouver. Do I finish this hit? Do I steal this puck? And you do, but it's easy to say till he looks you in the eyes and scares you, maybe, possibly, right? So easy to say. So anyways, I would say, like, that's what you close your mouth, learn as much as you can, earn everything you have. That was my advice to my son. Earn and learn, learn and earn. And don't have zero expectations, and go there to play hockey. And then the next piece would be, as I would always say, is, and I use the term, use fun, have fun, like, because hockey players will play their best when they are having fun, but it's not piss around fun. It's go play your game the way you know how to play, the best that you can. And then if you go there to a camp where all the unknowns are, and you just quietly go about your business, right? Because you're not there to make friends, and you will make some, but you're there to impress. If you want to be a hockey player, you're there to impress the brass. So having a good demeanor, you know, you try to walk around confidently, but more quiet, just do your job, and control what you control. Play hard. Yeah. Play hard.
Maybe just adding to that, the only two things I would suggest, just because I remember going through it myself too, is if you're going to try to have a plan, I would say you want to try to eliminate as many of the unknowns as you can, because that's, the unknowns are what's going to throw you off, right? Because you don't know how you're going to react to something that you don't know. So when the new thing comes, let's say, for example, fitness testing is an easy example. So if you go into fitness testing and they give you a test that you've never seen before, that's something that, even if you're in really good shape, if you haven't done that particular test, your body just isn't adapted to that. So it doesn't, you could have the best 5K time possible, but if they make you do there and backs for a certain period of time, it's just a different stimulus. So your body isn't going to react the same way as it does to running the 5K that you're familiar with. So it's important to eliminate as many of the unknowns as you can. And you won't be able to eliminate all of them, obviously. But it's things like, what does the rink look like? You know, where are the dressing rooms? How can I make my routine the same as it would be when I'm at home? You know, those are things that you can control, and it'll eliminate some of that stuff that can throw you off. And this kind of goes back to me mentioning schedules at the start of the episode. It's like, this is something where you can try to keep yourself in that routine, schedule routine, whatever the word is. Do your best to stay in that, even though you won't be able to, but just try to do the best you can. And then the other thing is knowing yourself as a player best you can, because we always talk about, you know, knowing those 3-4 things about yourself that you're good at, because then when you get into the game and you're hit with all the unknowns, like the 6'5" defenseman, you can fall back on those things you know about yourself, you know? So if you don't know what those things are, like, I remember, because when I went to Spitz camp, I didn't know what those things were. So I was just going in there thinking, like, okay, I know I need, maybe that's not true. I knew a little bit, because in my head, for example, I knew I needed to get in one fight, for me personally. I'm not saying that's what everybody needs to do. But for me, I was like, I know I have that capacity in me, and not everybody has that. So I knew, I was like, when I have my opportunity to fight, I'm going to, because that's just a thing that could possibly stand out about me, right? So that was one, for example. You need to do all those other things that are the easy things to know, like, you have to work hard, you have to be adaptable, you have to do those things that make you fit in with your team, but then know those 3 or 4 things that are going to make you someone that they take notice of, you know? Because it's one of your personal strengths. And it doesn't have to be something unique necessarily, right? Like, if you make a really good first pass, like a lot of people do, but that's a strength for you. So make sure that you're showing that strength. But if you don't know those things to begin with, when you go there, then it's going to be real hard when you have to get in a foot race with their top player and they're just faster than you because they're 3 years older. It's like, that can be discouraging. But if you know, okay, well, my game is actually these three things, then in those moments where you have a chance to do those things, you can do those things. And if you're at an OHL camp or you're at a junior camp because they've asked you to come, you didn't just like sign up, then they've probably identified something about you that is worth having you there, you know? So find out what those things are and make sure you know them when you go there, because when the game starts, the puck drops and you're against guys that are way bigger, way faster, way stronger, you don't want to just be overwhelmed. And you're going to be, but at least you can say, okay, but at least I know that I can do these things and I'm good at these things. So let's make sure we're doing those or whatever. So it's just kind of a way to keep you calm and keep you engaged in a positive way instead of just being like stimulus overload, because everything's unknown and all the players are way better, way bigger, way stronger, if that kind of makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. And then even flipping it, because even the older guys in the OHL or college or whatever you want to use, they're used to the environment and the pace of the play at a camp is a lot slower, sloppier and stuff like that, right? Yes. But your day is coming anyways. If you're moving on, then you're going to do that in the American League or Europe or NHL camps and stuff like that. So it's good to know this stuff. But like, so even if you have experience, so my son said that after, you know, went through his first year, he goes like, it's like there's no structure in the games because it's a scrimmage. It's not a structure thing. It's just show us what you have. And amazingly enough, the coaches and the GMs that are picking the scouts that pick the team, they know what they were looking for. So do your thing. But so when my son early, like his first year and stuff, was like, it's not structured. He goes, so I'm like having a hard time being around the pucks and stuff. It's like, go back to those three things. So even today, like when he was at the first camp, he goes, I played good and stuff. He goes, just it's unstructured. I said, yeah, but go and do your habits, your three things. So get to the net, make some contact, and back check hard. Those three things. If you do that, then it shows that you're, and those are things you're going to do anything. So drive the net, back check hard, and be physical. And he goes, well, I'm not going to blow up Michael Bushinger or Potsy and my buddies. And I go, no, I get that. And your coaches and that understand that. But, like, get there and you give your little shoves and just let them know. And he goes, yeah. And that's what he did. And it was like, so you're not just out of your element. You're playing your game and it's beneficial, right? And then you're reminding the coaches and the GMs, like I don't worry, I get my role, I get it, right? Whereas if you're not, but okay, so if you're a younger guy, it's the same thing. Like, what can you do to make yourself stand out? Like a really good hard back check, that'll get someone's eyes. If you do that, stripping pucks or back checking hard, that'll get someone's eyes. So those are little things that you can do, even though you might not be even ready for that league. But you want to stick out. You don't want to just be a bucket of vanilla.
Well, and you have a baseline. If you're at a camp like that, there's a baseline skill level that you're meeting, right? Or you wouldn't be there. So they know that you might have the ability one day to play at this level based on your skill level, because if you didn't have it, then you wouldn't be there. And sometimes they make mistakes, but in general, that's you're there because your baseline of skill will be good enough to play there. So it isn't necessarily the case that they're looking for you to be McDavid. Right.
Well, you're not going to be.
You're
or two guys are.
Yeah, you're not going to be. But a lot of kids, it's like, I need to show my offensive dominance. Like, that's the default position. Like, I need to show that I offensively can help your team. And, like, that's one way to help a team, but that's not the only way. And especially in an environment like that, it's like, you think you're going to get around Bushy? It's like, you're not going to get around Bushy, man.
No. Right? Unless he's going on with the skate guards on.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Or he's just really not giving a rip that shift and doesn't care because it's camping. He doesn't have to. Right. Which I'm sure he would. So if you're that guy, it's like, okay, instead of focusing on, man, I didn't get any good shots on net, or I didn't get any good one-on-one opportunities to make a move and show how slick I am. It's like, well, yeah, but did you back check? Because you for sure had an opportunity to do that. You know, did you finish a hit? Because you for sure had an opportunity to do that. Are your passes on the tape? Because you definitely had an opportunity to do that. Like so those little parts of the game that happen frequently are where you're going to catch an eye. And if you get the odd, like, flashy display of skill, like, bonus, like, that's great, you know? But instead of looking for those, make sure you're doing the little things. And then if you happen to get an opportunity where you can show a little bit of skill, then that's great. That's a bonus, you know? But then if you're thinking skill as a new guy off the bat, you could walk out of a game feeling, like, disappointed, you know? Like, oh, I didn't get a chance to show what I can do. Or maybe they didn't give me enough of an opportunity to show what I can do. It's like, yeah, but they kind of did, because every shift you have a bit of an opportunity.
Yeah, trust me, there's lots of hockey.
Yeah.
There's lots. Yeah. There's lots there in 2-3 days to do your thing.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, so one other thing, just like the point you made about not being around the puck because it's unstructured. If you know that going in also, that's super helpful because you're probably not going to get great breakout passes because we don't have a breakout. You know, you're not going to get a good neutral zone play because we don't have one. We're not running any, you know.
Yeah. And so, a lot of guys are playing for themselves, not looking at a team aspect of a game.
Right. So it's like, you know that going in that kind of environment, it's not the same as a real hockey game where you have this team versus that team and we're running all our normal systems. So your opportunity to get good offensive chances will be less just because there's not structure to the game, you know? So instead of hoping for those coincidental opportunities where maybe you get a 2-on-1 off a turnover or something, it's like make those other things that don't seem like an opportunity where you can get noticed kind of thing. So I think that's a good thing to touch on. I wanted to ask too, what do you think, it'll kind of be the opposite of what we just said, I guess, but pointing out some of the common mistakes that you see from first year kids when they come into their first training camps, and maybe mistake isn't the right word, but like,
well, I think the biggest thing is, it'll probably go in my next little piece here, yeah, is like, it's just nerves,
right? Yeah, yeah.
It's nerves. Like, nerves is number one. Like I could see it, like even the first scrimmage game. Well, you see when they come in, like they don't know anything. They've never been in the building. They don't know the fitness guy. And all the veterans are there, right? So it's nerves. It's just nervous. Everything's weird, right? And you want to do well. And then you look at, oh, these guys are big and old. Oh, this guy's funny. He's a clown. He fits in. But I'm just a rookie. They don't care about me. That's the biggest thing. And you have to be able to block that out. But it's impossible to block out. You just have to get through it, right? It's just nerves. But I also see it with... because they're entering the unknown. They're away from home. Everything's unknown. Everything, right? When do we eat again? Like, when am I allowed to shower now? Like, everything, man, everything. Yeah. Do I get to go out first? Do I warm up the way I like to warm up? Like, should I rip it on the goalie? Or like, it's everything. It's everything, you know?
Man, that's actually really...
No, it's... Dude, it's everything. It's everything.
I know, it's
if,
not
if you get Charlie
hockey
that sits down beside you, if he was an ass and said, no, I'm going out, like, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? Or if you get Ryan McGuire treating you like a little bit like you don't belong there, it's like, then what do you say? What do you actually say? It's, you know, that culture is not like that there. But like, that's what I'm saying. It's like nerves. And then it's even the parents, right? Like it's you see the parents. And I got to say that I was probably a little bit more confident at that camp, but I still had like, I hope he does well. I hope he doesn't get blown up by, because you don't know who the tough guys are yet or who plays like who. So it's like, eh, keep your head up, kid. Just, you know, you want everything to go well, so you're nervous, like, to a certain degree. But I look at the parents and I go, oh, you guys, two poor guys, you just walk around like no one knows me. But you know, I know this for a fact because I'm a human, but everybody wants you to say your kid's doing well, or, oh, I know who your kid is. Oh, I saw your kid. If anyone got that, it's like, oh, really? It feels so good. My wife is great at this, and I guess I am too. I'll never walk by, especially a new person, because we've made a lot of friends with our group, but I'll never walk by, especially a new person, with like, and just walk by them. Also, oh, hey, how you doing? They don't have to know who I am or whatever. Not who I am, but like that my kid's on the team. My wife is the friendliest person, so she makes conversations and, oh, what's your name and all that stuff. And so I was walking in the one day, the first day of camp, and it was one of the dads. He goes, oh, Andy, this is whatever's dad. And I said, oh, I told him what you said about his son yesterday. And I said, oh, yeah, he was great, man. He's skilled, smart. What a nice player. He goes, oh, really? Like, thanks. He goes, oh, man, we're so nervous for him. I said, dude, he did great. Really? And it was like, yeah. And then I told him, because he most likely will be on the team. I said, listen, man, like, here's my number. If you have any questions about anything, you need a place to eat, you need a place to, you know, where do we go for here, a shortcut for something, text me, call me. I said, happy to help. So your kid's going to do great. This is the greatest place in the world. Organization, this, that, the other thing. It's the best. You just relax. So we did that to a couple people, and they're like, that's better. No, but seriously, isn't that not better? Instead of just looking at them and going, oh, yeah, good luck to you, you know? And just like some encouraging words and say, I hope you talk to someone, oh, I hope you had a good time. It's a great place, you know?
And, you know, that's I'm flashing back to that clip I saw from Rod Brindamore, where he was talking about you know, what can we do for you? And whether you're, you know, whether you're the from the organization level, whether you're the coach, GM, whatever, or the, you know, your parents on the team, like you're doing, it's just helping to put people at ease a little bit, because it's like we're not here judging you, like the, like for being new and not knowing how things are run. We know that this is a really nerve-wracking experience, you know, like we know. And I think if you can get ahead of that, even just as coaches and GMs, like this is why we're for me at least, where I would see the value of like having meetings or like having an orientation or having like an initial where you can touch base with everybody. Like if I was running an organization, if I'm the GM, it's like the very first thing when everyone shows up, parents and kids included, it's like, let's have a meeting. And I would basically say what you said to that one parent, to everybody. And obviously like some people will take that more seriously than others, and it won't be as, it won't put people as at ease as much as the personal one-on-one, but at least you can say like, hey guys, like we know this is all new. Like we get it. We, all you guys that haven't been here before, you're not going to know where to go. You're not going to know what to do. Your kids aren't going to know. And just make sure you're asking questions. There's people around that are here to help. We have people stationed specifically for you to ask. And I've instructed them to make sure that they're open and helpful when you ask them questions. It just gives people a, oh, okay. Like that's nice to know.
Well, and nice to walk by someone and they say hi and you say hi again. Yeah. It's like, right? How was your day? Where are you staying? Oh, I noticed your kid today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now I know who he is. It's like little things like that. It's like, but okay, so like this is where you wonder where leaders come from, right? You wonder where your freaking leaders come from. So what do you think I've told my kid all my life?
Treat people properly.
Right. So there was a couple kids that he knew, like one of the local kids was a goalie that went to the camp, and he knew in the summer, he got to know him a little bit and took care of him. Yeah. Like the best you can, right? Okay, go here, go here.
Yeah, you don't have to be a babysitter, but like just
took care of them.
Make sure they know, like they now you know someone here.
Yeah, it's not like I've been here. You know, it's just leadership. It's just called freaking leadership, and it doesn't have to just come from players. It's, in fact, it won't. It comes from parents too, right? So the other thing I was going to say about that is, you know, as parents, when you see them in the crowd, like, you know, when you guys go to your first camps, like I get it. You just want your kid to do well, and one bobble of the puck and you're like freaking out, or you do something well and you're looking around to make sure everybody saw, you know what I mean? The parents are nervous. They just want their kids to do well. And you can also realize, like, from parents and the kids, the players, is like realizing that cracking this lineup is going to be tough. Like there's a very few spots and this is going to be tough. So it's like, you know, you're just, there's a lot of doubt there. And it's tough. And he goes, you know, where do I fit in, right? The thing is that this is the camp, and it just gets harder. This is just the camp. This is not the highest competition you're going to play all year. It's just the exhibition season gets a little bit tougher. The regular season to the playoffs, it's like a whole different level. But and it's an everydayness. Like it's every day. So go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just going to think like it gets. In the one sense, it gets tougher. But
well,
I think,
get settled in.
Oh, yeah. I think on the other hand, like, that is one of the most difficult parts is the transition, you know? Like, jumping from one team to another. Just for the simple fact of those unknowns, like we talked about. Like, once those are gone, once you have some familiarity with what's happening, now it's like the playing part is always tougher. Like, the playing part gets tougher and tougher and tougher. But in terms of just the day-to-day stressors, those all become a little bit more comfortable.
So you think of next, so the kids that are staying that start the season with the team, well, they're starting a new school as well. So like I remember when my kid went through it, it's like, okay, he's got a different school in a different city, doesn't know anything about it. And you know, the older guys get to be in the breakfast club, which he's going to be in now. So he gets to just concentrate on hockey. So you just see that gap, right? And it's like, so parents are thinking about, how's hockey? How's school? How you getting there? Like all these different things. Like there's a lot. So there's a big change of their life. And I would say yes, 100%. 100%. The routine is necessary just to say, okay, now it's the rink. Now it's the billets, which is a whole different world. But we're not talking about that today. But that's that. Takes a while to get used to even going in the fridge. So there's that routine. But the one thing that also gets really hard is that if it's not an amazing situation, both at the rink and at the billets and everything, then you get homesick. That's just the bottom line, especially when you're fighting for ice time.
Mm-hmm.
It's no just, shit. It's hard, man. It's hard. Yep. So, like, it's amazing. But anyways, I wanted to go on to this. The other thing is the conditioning. I really, you know, you better be ready. And I think a lot of the kids are probably shocked. Like, so you do your fitness testing. And again, you're looking at the age gap. You're looking at the size of some guys. And you're going, well, holy crap. Like, how am I ever going to get there? But you will, you know. I always use that example. I've watched kids that are in minor bantam or what do you call it, U15, U14. They look at the U15s and they go, man, they're huge. Even parents do that. Yeah. And then when they go up to the U16s, it's like, I don't know if my kid will ever get there, but they get there. So you see the baby face kids come in and you see kids with beards and muscles and you're doing the fitness testing. You go like, this guy's jacked. I said, you're going to be there. Do the work, you're going to be there. But yeah, you got the fitness testing, and then you got two hard skates a day, like every day. And you're exhausted. Even a veteran that's been around for two, three, 4 years, they're exhausted at a training camp because you're going hard. So you really learn from that when you go to these things that I don't know if you can over-prepare. You can overwork out, but you need to make sure that you get the job done in the summers.
Yeah, I think especially for the first year players that just get there, they just don't get it yet. So like there's only so much they're gonna do. Like even because we had a bunch of draft picks that were here in the summer that were going to their first camps, and it's like they're not at every track day, or like they're not at every single workout, or they don't really understand how to try their hardest at a certain thing because they're just new
totally
to
get it,
right?
Yeah.
So the sooner you can understand those things, the sooner you're going to have a little bit of an edge on other guys your age, but you're still going to be behind all the older guys. So it's like, even if you have a good grasp of it before you get there, you're still not going to be as good as those guys that have been doing it for 3 years, you know?
Probably not squatting with Cam Allen squat.
Yeah, right. So it's like, even just for Charlie, it's like he's 15 pounds heavier than his first year at the same height. So it's like he's starting to grow into his frame. And maybe this would probably be the first year. He's going to be turning 18 this year where it's like, okay, he can kind of handle his frame now. Like this would probably be the first year that I would
for
say
sure.
That,
yeah,
right?
I agree with you.
And so just by the nature of your age, even if you're as dialed in and totally get fitness and totally get nutrition and totally get recovery, you're still behind just because you're younger, you know? So my point of that is the sooner you can take some of that more seriously, the more helpful it's going to be. And that's without being like a nerd about it, you know, because that's the other thing of, you know, you talk about all the unknowns at camp and it's like, can I shower now? Can I do this now? Can I do that now? It's like, you want to stand out on the ice for certain things. When you're not on the ice, you don't want to be standing out for weird shit. You know what I mean? You just don't want to, because now this is where we talk about that gelling with the team part. It's like the guys on the team notice, you know, and everyone's looking for it. So you want to make sure that it looks like you can be a part of the team and how it functions. You don't want to be standing out for weird shit because you're super way over the top into whatever thing it is that you're into. It's just like not a good strategy in terms of off ice behavior to blend in with what the team's doing, because you want to be part of the team. You want to blend in with the team. And then on the ice is where you want to be standing out, you know, because I remember that too. It's like, can I grab a towel? Like, can I take one of these Gatorades? Like if you're the first guy to go get a Gatorade, wrong behavior. You know, wrong behavior. So those are the things you want to just keep in mind.
100%. Yeah. So you got to be ready the best that you can. And it's hard. Like it's all about fitting in. Eh? And speaking of fitting in, it's just, that's what you just hope that you can do. Like in the room, like in the room and on the ice and stuff, you just want to be able to fit in. And that, like you said, it's not being disruptive or being the idiot. And, you know, like this is for count your blessings when you do have someone that is kind of takes you under their wing or gives you a couple, like an older guy that gives you a couple words or pats you on the ass and says, hey, that's a good job out there, or gives you some feedback on how you're doing or whatever like that, because that's very, very, very helpful. And it doesn't happen all the time, but like for the older guys that when you, or for you, if you go to your second camp the following year, it's like, you're there to make a team, but like, just always remember, this is what I say to kids every camp. It's like, always remember that you might be the new guy. So like when you have a chance to let, you know, to treat people right, that makes all the difference in the world to them. And they'll always remember that. So
yeah,
when you get,
might be a little tangent, but I'm thinking about the idea of like doing something to stand out. Because I think a lot of times, especially when you're new to camp, that can result in trying to do too much because you're trying to stand out. So I don't know if I have like a question about it, or just I'm having just brain diarrhea. But like, I feel like there's something about like almost not trying to stand out that's worth talking about too. You know what I mean?
No. I totally get what you mean. But like, there's certain things that, you know, this is the advice I would give or have given is when it's the lunches and the breakfasts and the all that, go last, let the older guys go first. That's just the way it works. If there are pucks to pick up after practice, just be the guy that helps until the coach says no, just it's okay, we got him. Know when you should be first. Like, be so if you're on the ice at 10, be ready good and early so that you're not the late guy. Like, those are the ways that you want to do it. But other than that, yeah, you don't want to stand out and like you're kissing people's ass.
Yeah, it's like a fine line. But yeah, that was just kind of one thing I want to touch on. So maybe we could go to, unless I know you have something you want to go to, or do you want me to say what I have to say?
No, I want to say, but what you do want to be comfortable, where you want to be, like the point that you made is where you want to stand out or where you want to be comfortable is on the ice. Yeah. Like where you need to be comfortable, and this is the one thing you can control, is that when it's time to play or it's time to do your fitness or whatever, that's where you can't care what anybody thinks. So that's where you'll see in these scans where some guys might be a little bit attentive or whatever, they won't play their game, but the bottom line is you don't want to be a bucket of vanilla where you just blend in there and you just played. So play your game. So like, if you are that offensive guy, like you talked about, like you're probably not going to the OHL camp and getting 4 goals a game, probably not, but all the little habits that get you the puck or get you the offensive plays, so that when you have the puck, you can do something with it. So like, it is sticking out like a sore thumb on your back checks. It is battling. Like when you get those areas where you're in the corners, it's like battle. Like that's where you cannot have any concern for anybody. It's like, you might have to hit that 6'6" guy. Not you might, you have to. If you want to play, if you want to make the team, make an impression, you have to do those things. So in the games, in the practices, on the ice, when you have to perform, that's the mental toughness thing that you can do is be in the moment and play the game, because that's the one thing that you can control. Yeah. Can't control how anybody treats you, all that stuff, but in the game, you could be you.
Yeah, and I think people being like coaches, managers of teams, whatever, they actually do notice those things, because I think a lot of times it sounds like a cliche of like you have to finish your hits and you have to, and then I think it's easy to think, oh, like, oh, that's not enough. And it's like, sometimes it's actually enough. Like if there's a guy that just always finishes the hit, it's like, I always see that guy. It's like, man, yeah, this guy always finishes a hit.
Yeah. Okay, like, so let's say you're not, but okay, so I can hear someone saying right away, well, yeah, but he's not, that's not his style. Okay, that's fine. Like, get active there, be physical in some way, take hands away and stuff. But like, what else then? Can you forecheck? Like, try to be F1. If you're like hard forechecker, that's not vanilla anymore. Are you a really, really hard back checker? Like, even if it's inappropriate, it shows that, like, I take care of my D zone. Like, that's gets someone's attention. If you skate with the puck when you have it, like, go. Don't worry about, okay, I should, you know, no, do what you do best. But, like, find one or two things or three things that you can control. And that's, like, anybody can back check. Anybody can, but most won't. I don't mean that like they back check, but they back check. Do they you can forecheck, but are you like actually really forechecking, getting there, making an impression?
Right.
And so you can control that stuff.
I would argue that that's the reason why you can get a guy that's a later pick or whatever that ends up making a team. If not first year, it's like you got their attention for next year when you come back. You know,
well, so that's what I'm saying. So it's, you stick out.
Otherwise, it would be like we sign our round one, round two, round three, and that's it every year. And those are the guys that play. And if you get drafted past the third round, it's irrelevant because no one ever makes it. And that's just not true. And I would like there was a kid that one of our guys that got drafted late last year, who's at camp this year, and they're asking him to stay and go into exhibition games and stuff this year, and that's because he's noticeable with these little things. Like, he's fast. He has a little bit of a jam to him, right? He battles hard. He's on pucks. Like, yeah, he doesn't back down. Like, that, those are kinds of things that would have made him as a late pick someone who now is like, okay, like, we see you, and now you're hanging around, right? Whereas if on paper, it's like, you'd be a write-off. Like, you're late round. It's like, yeah, we don't need you. We got all these earlier guys, you know? So I think those, what you're talking about, that's the reason why those guys will end up getting an opportunity. Again, if not your first camp, they'll be having an eye on you for next year, right? So I think that's an important thing to know, because like you said, the likelihood of you making it this year is pretty slim.
Yeah, most guys aren't making it.
But for the next year, it's like, now you might have some eyes on you, right? Yeah. So
yeah. Well, that was really going to say, is my takeaway from your first camp, like, most are going home. So my takeaway from your first camp is, like, if you had a great camp, then that's good. Make it better next year. You're going to know that you're going to come back bigger, hopefully, stronger, hopefully, smarter, hopefully, and a little bit more prepared. So that's a good thing. You'll be more fit, all that kind of stuff. So when you go back the following year, take those lessons and find the gaps that you weren't good at. Maybe you weren't battling the way you were because you were tentative. Like, learn those lessons and bring it into the next camp. And the next year, when you're maybe a little bit more comfortable and you've maybe learned a lesson, it's like, okay, like, play like someone that wants to make a team, like, actually wants to be there. Because I noticed that big time this year. There was a couple kids. Like, I'll be honest with you, because I don't feel like lying right now, but I'll be honest with you. Most kids go to camps, and I don't know if it's the way people are now, or maybe it's because, from my perspective, like, when we used to play, it used to be like I'm not joking, like, every scrimmage was probably 4 or 5 fights, bloodbath. It was like one way guys would always show, right? But that's a different game, and I wouldn't want that for my kid or any of my other kids. But maybe that's why the compete level sometimes looks off to me. So when I watch a camp, I a lot of the times I can't tell who's actually trying to make a team. That's my takeaway from when I watch camps. It's like, were you trying to make the team, or are you hoping that someone would take you for some reason? And I've seen guys like that are on marginal, or maybe they're close, or maybe they were there last year, or maybe they're an early pick that just didn't make it from the year before, and it's like, they're there. Like, the coaches want to see it, but then you watch the tryout or the camp, and you go, well, what are you bringing? So, like, at least if I saw, let's say, the fourth round pick from, I'm making this up, by the way, fourth round pick that was close last year or should be close this year, and if he just plays a vanilla game, then, like, why would I sign you? But if I do see him tracking back hard every single time, he might not be scoring goals, because that doesn't matter anyways. But I go, okay, he wants to be here. Let's get him into exhibition games. Let's get him to the next point, right? Yeah. Or if I see him going into those corners and battling, or going to the net and battling, and, like, with a true battle, with, like, and it looks like he wants to be there, it's like, okay, now you have time for this person. They stick out. And that's what you want to do, is you want to go there to try to make a team. And then it goes back to earning and learning, right? So if you go there and earn that next level because you battled and you did something to get there, the coaches, the staff, the team will take that and they'll take it to the next level. So, okay, that back, like, so let's say your back checking in camp was unreal, or your forecheck was unreal. It's a little much, though, but I appreciate the fact that you did it. So it's always easier to maybe tame the lion than try to make something aggressive, right? So you want to be able to have, like, maybe it's pulling them back or making you smarter, or just tweaking that thing that got their attention. And then maybe you don't have the brains or the skill to get there, but you got there. Or maybe you do, right? But you look like you're a lot more coachable, and you look like you have a desire to play. So
yeah, I think that's what I would say. The last part for me is, you like, after a camp, it's kind of another way of saying what you just said, is you need to have, like, some time to reflect on your performance and what you did well, what you didn't do well. And I think a key part of that is getting actual feedback from the team. Because if you walk away and just talk to dad or mom about what you think you need to improve on, like, how do you know you're right? Especially if it's your first camp. Because a lot of kids, they don't even know what they're good at themselves. Like, you don't really have a frame of reference. So it's important that when you have your exit meeting or you get a chance to talk to the coach, you have to put on your big boy pants and actually ask a question. You know, even if you are 15 and you know you're not making it yet because whatever reason, right? Or you're 16, it's your first camp, or it's your second camp or whatever. It's like, actually ask the question, because usually, particularly with kids that are draft picks, but usually with most kids, they give you some kind of exit meeting when you're on your way out, right? Or even if you have an opportunity where you can go ask, you know, try to take advantage of that opportunity when it's there, you know? So if they're going to sit one-on-one with you and give you 2 minutes to discuss what happened and what they expect for next year, whatever, a lot of times it might just be vague. It might just be bigger, faster, stronger, like you've said before, you know? And that's like not helpful because it's not specific on what you can do, you know? So you have to be able to like pull your pants up a little bit and say, okay, I actually want to know specific things because I actually care about making this team next year. So what should I be focusing on? And then do the thing, right? But it's good to get actual feedback from the people that are judging you, you know, which sucks because sometimes it might hurt your feelings or you maybe thought you did something well that you didn't.
But the thing is like, this is, we're talking about training camp, but then I would take the same advice and I would take it to your everyday approach to hockey. It's, you have to do things that stand out, that you're not just vanilla. So, you know, take the talk that we just had and like, find those, as I always say, is take those 3-4 things that you need to do well to give yourself good games, good shifts, and do them consistently. But you know, if you do that, then it gives you a chance, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think that feedback part, if for no other reason, it just makes the coach know that you give a shit. But then it's just helpful to address your own deficiencies later, because you might not even know what they are. You might thought it was X and they say it's Y. And you're like, oh, I didn't even know that. So that's good to know.
Yeah, most kids will probably say, I didn't score, I didn't get points. It's like, right. That's not what they want you to do.
Yeah, especially when you're a first-year guy. It's like they're not expecting that. Even if you think, well, if I score, that'll make me stand out. It's like, yeah, they're probably not signing you anyways. So if you score, it's still kind of irrelevant, you know? So that's kind of what I would say on that. So any other training camp-related topics that you would like to
talk about? I think I'm good.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good too.
Okay.
We'll leave it there. See you guys next week.